Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 127 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Rebecca. Rebecca lives in Boston, Massachusetts, where she works for a biotech company as a sales rep. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hello, everybody.
So glad to have you here today, the day that this comes out, Christmas Eve.
Exciting.
I know. We're recording this in October, so we're not Christmassy here yet. You're not Christmassy
there.
Isn't that
crazy to think about? Yeah.
I know. I haven't bought the first gift yet. So by the time this comes out, I should be finished.
Yeah. The lights up, all the gifts.
That's right. I tell you what, though, this year we need a little bit more Christmas than usual.
I so agree with that. This year has been so difficult. I feel like for everybody, not just because of the jobs, but, you know, being lost, but obviously.
Yeah, it's been a very, very tough year. So
yeah, family.
Come on, 2021. We'll be ready for a fresh start.
I am so excited.
Yeah, me too.
2021, hopefully, great year.
I'm going to call it now. It's going to be amazing. Well, Rebecca, you know, I like to start by asking what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to go through a little bit of my history so that people can kind of get a better idea. But I essentially have kind of had an athletic build my entire life. I had swam competitively for years ever since I was little up until the end of high school and then even kind of into college. So I was in great shape. But I remember specifically I've always been kind of body conscious, I guess. And I remember one event specifically in my past that really affected me, I guess. I had an ex-boyfriend at the time. This was in high school. And he had commented on how I needed to lose weight. And that, like, from then on, I just remember being obsessed, I guess, about it.
Isn't it funny how those little comments can just, like, strike like daggers?
Yeah, it really hurt me because at the time, I thought I was okay. Like, and I was. Now looking back, of course. I mean, I was so healthy and active. But it really just hit me hard. And then from then on, it was just a constant, you know, oh my God, I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. And yeah. So after that, I have always been in high school and college somewhere between 130 and 140.
And how tall are you?
5'5".
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, I'm 5'5 as well. And that's a really healthy height.
Yeah,
for 5'5". And also, I bet you are solid muscle with all that swimming.
Yes, I was at the time. Yes. Maybe not so much anymore, but yeah. But yeah, so I was always athletic and healthy. But then I graduated college in 2015. And after that, I had a really bad breakup. And for some reason, that hit me so hard. I mean, we'd been together for a long time, but it basically sent me into this depression spiral. And I threw myself into three jobs, and I had lost, I think, like 15 pounds at the time. So I was really too thin for my frame, my height. But then after I kind of slowed down to one job, I started to have kind of obsessive thoughts about food and actually was eventually diagnosed with the binge eating disorder.
And was that the first time that you'd ever had that issue with the binge eating?
Yes, that was the first time I've ever, because even though I was in high school and I had always kind of thought about weight, I'd never really done anything about it because I think in the back of my head, I knew I was healthy and I was okay. Right. But for some reason, after that breakup, it really shook me. And I then started to binge eat and become obsessed with food. And, you know, I would restrict all week. And then I'd plan the weekends, like what I was going to eat for a bit, like for, you know, my binging sessions. Right. It's so horrible. But,
and, you know, I want to put out there that, you know, you were restricting a lot during the week. Mm-hmm. And what we know from the research on over-restriction is that it actually leads you to naturally binge. You know, I talk about this in Fast, Feast, Repeat, and it's really, really hard. And it's a cycle. You over-restrict, your body sends you the signal, binge. You do because your body is trying to keep you alive. And then you feel guilty because you feel like you are weak. But really, it's your body in control. It would be like if you tried to hold your breath a long time and your body said, breathe, breathe. And then you took a whole lot of breaths in. You'd be like, why am I so weak? I can't. But it's your body keeping you alive. I think it's the similar kind of a thing.
Exactly. It felt like a weakness, but it also felt like a fail. Like I just failed. And it was such an unhealthy mindset. Looking back, it was just terrible. So yeah. So basically I had struggled with binge eating and I tried a couple of different diets, obviously calorie counting. That was a big one. And at the time there was also a big hype, I guess, around if it fits your macros.
Yes. I remember that.
Oh my God. So I was like constantly counting my macros. And at the time people were saying like, oh, you know, this is a lifestyle. Like it feels so good. I can eat what I want as long as it's within my macros. And I remember just being like, oh my God, this is not a lifestyle. But I thought something was wrong with me because everyone on the internet, right, they said, you know, oh, this is great. It's working great for me. And I just, for the life of me, I could not get it to work, right? Because I would still have those binge is.
Well, and you know, with me, I tried all those different counting things as well. And I, you know, luckily missed the if it fits your macros because I was.
Oh, you're lucky.
Well, I was already, I mean, I saw people talking about it, but I was already at my goal by then.
So, woo, so
by 2015. So when the people really started talking about it, but I would of course see it in the Facebook groups. People talked about it. They all always abbreviate it. IIFYM.
Yes.
If you say IIFYM, that means if it fits your macros, I know the lingo.
Yeah.
But, I don't like counting, weighing, measuring, tracking. You know, it led me to eat just things out of boxes and pouches. And you are like, I can't eat this avocado because I don't know what it is. Instead, I'm going to eat this lean cuisine. You're like,
yes, that is so true. I also tried Weight Watchers and it was the same kind of counting, but you're right. I would gravitate towards packaged foods because the calories and all the macros. Yeah, they're right there.
But isn't that sad?
Yes. Or they even have those silly Weight Watchers bars, like those desserts. Instead of having like, I don't know, a baked apple with cinnamon or, you know, something much more delicious
and healthy. That would be hard to count.
Yeah, I know. Well, because sometimes the apple, it's a medium apple. Well, what the heck is a medium apple?
I get it. Yeah. We make it so much harder than it has to be when we try to do all this counting. And then the body doesn't really count it like that anyway.
I know. Well, I know that now.
Right.
But I didn't know that at the time. And I was so strict about calories. Like, I think it had me on like 1,200 calories.
That sounds like my number.
Yeah. And if I
always did that.
Oh my God. And then, it was horrible. Was like, if I went over even by like 50 calories, I'd be like, oh, my day is over. So I might as well just eat all the donuts and, you know, whatever, because I ruined it.
Right.
Right. But 50 calories, I mean, geez. Anyway, so yeah, I kind of had done all of those diets throughout 2015 to actually last year around November. And I'll kind of talk about that. But basically, there was just this overwhelming sense of failure.
Right. I think we can all appreciate that we felt like that in our diet history. We felt like failures because we tried so hard. You were counting, you were trying.
I was trying, like really hard. But then every weekend, it was like I couldn't take it mentally. And I was hungry. And I just, you know. And I remember eating, this is when I knew it was a real problem, when I had my binge eating issue. I ate an entire loaf of bread and I didn't even want it. Like I just ate it because I look back at that and it makes me sad. And I, you know, now I tell everyone about intermittent fasting because it's like, it truly has made my life so much better. And so whenever I hear of someone that's having those same issues or, you know, whatever, I always kind of, not only do I tell them about intermittent fasting, but I tell them about, you know, your podcast. I also listen to the intermittent fasting podcast, and that's what really got me into the whole intermittent fasting lifestyle. But I always tell them, you know, listen to these, read Jen's books, like, you know, and then I obviously encourage them to do their own research, but I just feel like I need to scream it at the top of, you know, the rooftops.
You know, and that's me too. And that's why I wrote my first book and started my first group and told everybody I knew, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny to see my Facebook memories pop up because there'll be a Facebook memory back from before I had Facebook groups. And I'm like, hi, everybody, I'm doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah,
and I don't know, 150 friends I had at the time. I don't even know. But it was way back in 2014. But, you know, we just want... You're like, look, I found this. This is it. I'm no longer feeling crazy.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Exactly. And it completely, well, so I can kind of talk about, you know, how intermittent fasting has helped me, but also I did kind of want to just continue quickly about how, so essentially after, during that time period, I started at like 130, 140 around there. I had then between 2019 March to that time in 2015, I had gained about 20 pounds or so. Just in those years, you know, lose the weight and then you gain five more, right? And then lose the and then gain five more, right? So it was just a constant battle. And then basically in 2017, I actually had a really rough year, and that's when a majority of the bulk of the weight came on. During that time, I had broken my foot, and then a month later, I lost my mom. So it was like, yeah, it was just this horrible swirl of difficult things, and that really, so I basically used food as a comfort. And then on top of that, I couldn't walk. So like I was not active, right? It was a really bad time. And that's, you know, like I said, when the majority of that weight came on. But then in 2019 in March, and I remember this specifically because it was when I started to really gain weight. I'd had some tough times, obviously. So my doctor for years, like 2 or 3 years by that point, had been constantly telling me to like go on antidepressants, and I have insomnia. So she was saying like, you need to take insomnia medication, like, you know, whatever. So I kind of had met my wit's end, and food was a major part of that. So I was just like, okay, fine. Like I'll go on the medication that you want me to. And from March 2019 to November 2019, I had gained 40 pounds.
Wow. And what did that bring you up to?
212.0 specifically.
Oh, I get it. I was 210.0.
Yeah, so okay. So you
I know exactly how you felt.
Yeah, and it was horrible. And I remember just watching the scale going up and up, and I felt like there was nothing I could do. I was always hungry, and I had this massive pit in my stomach that I just felt like I could not fill. And I remember thinking, and I remember when I hit 200 pounds, I remember thinking, okay, like this is my life now. Like this is what's this, I'm just going to be obese for the rest of my life. And then I'll never forget it. In September, I don't know where exactly I found intermittent fasting, but I somehow found it. And I got sucked into all these YouTube videos. And basically I had found Dr. Jason Fung, his YouTube videos, and the one about the Biggest Loser study. And also this analogy really blew my mind when he talked about the fridge and the freezer It just completely blew my mind. So
I love that analogy. Can you tell it? Do you remember it well enough to tell it?
Yeah. So, I mean, at least from my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
So he was talking about how you fill up your fridge and your freezer. And if you're constantly taking out of your fridge and refilling it, you're never going to be able to access what's in your freezer, which is all your stored fat, to use that as energy. Right.
Yeah. So and constantly also thinking about the freezer as being like in the garage or in the basement.
Yes.
And you're not going to go all the way down there if you've got it in the fridge.
Yeah, right. And I loved how he also, because I also bought his book, I loved how he also talked about how calories in and calories out, it's not just that simple.
Right.
Like there are so many other mechanisms going on. It's just, you can't count the amount of calories and say, okay, well, my daily, what is it? Total daily expenditure.
TDEE.
Yeah.
Also something we saw a lot in the IIFYM. Yeah. They talk about your TDEE. Get your TDEE and subtract 500.
Yeah.
And then do this.
Exactly.
It'll work. And if it doesn't, you're just really bad.
You're wrong. Yeah, exactly.
And you're lying. And yeah, that's exactly the mindset.
Exactly. And so anyway, how he was talking about how, you know, calories in versus calories out doesn't really work. Like your body's so much more complicated than that. And I graduated with a degree in biology. So I am more skewed towards science anyway. So I really appreciated that. And it was the first time, you know, because he had explained how, you know, when you lose all the weight, your metabolism slows down because your body is trying to get used to this new normal of lower calories, right? And so, I mean, it completely changed the way I looked at dieting. And so basically in September is when I started, but I was unsuccessful, I should say, because I had tried 16-8 because that's what everyone online had been talking about and it had worked for them and, you know, it was great. So I tried it and I felt like it didn't resolve my binge eating because I was still basically in that 8-hour window. I was fitting breakfast, lunch, and dinner and then snacks. So these little, it would still be like little meals and I was never fully satisfied and it still felt like a diet to me. Anyway, so I did that for a month, kind of going on and off, and I was always really hungry too. Oh, and also I should mention during September, I started to get off all the medications that I was on because it wasn't, yes, I was sleeping, which was fantastic. I hadn't slept a normal amount of sleep in a long time, but mentally I was so broken and I knew I had to get off. So anyway, I gradually in September with doctor supervision, of course, started to get off the 4 medications that I was on. And also, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but during that time, I had gone and seen a psychiatrist. And have you ever heard of Vyvanse?
Vyvanse?
Yeah, Vyvanse.
Is it for ADHD?
Yeah. So this is how desperate I was to lose the weight. Basically, there was this psychiatrist that I had gone to, and she had recommended Vyvanse for binge eating. But when I looked into it, because I didn't know anything about that medication, but I guess it's highly addictive. And the fact that I was willing to take this medication just for the hope that it would make me stop binging and gaining weight. And, you know, I didn't take it because that was kind of when I found the intermittent fasting thing. And I was like, okay, let me give this a try. But I just think it's so interesting and kind of sad how, you know, we feel like our bodies are not doing what we want them to do. So we will, you know, throw our entire life into this drug that will, you know, help us lose all this weight and whatever. And that just makes me so sad.
Me too. And, you know, I just looked it up real quick while you were talking, and it's ADHD, but also binge eating disorder. I didn't know it was prescribed for binge eating disorder, but it makes sense. knowing what I know about, you know, being a teacher for 28 years and a lot of children who were on ADHD medication, one of the side effects was they couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They lost their appetite.
Exactly.
I mean, we saw that. And like, I remember children who would just get so very thin while taking ADHD medication because they just really had no desire to eat. And so exactly. that makes sense. If it shuts off your desire to eat, then that was my whole thing with the diet pills that I got from a doctor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
I was that desperate too.
It's just, it's really sad.
Did you take the Vyvanse or not?
No, I didn't end up taking it because that was when I kind of had found intermittent fasting and I was determined to make it work.
You were going
to
do it, yeah.
Yes, because I so heavily believed in the science. But I had also, with the Vyvanse, and sorry if I'm saying that incorrectly.
I think that's right.
But
Vyvanse?
Yeah. I had kind of thought to myself, okay, yes, in the short term, it will fix things. But in the long term, I'm not learning to fix my mind, right? And the way I think about food, yes, it will stop me from eating a lot. But when I eventually get off that medication, I'm not going to be able to be on it forever. I could see how, you know, my habits could come back, right? Because I'm hungry again.
Also, when I finally decided I didn't want to put my body through that anymore and I was never going to take diet pills again, I had a massive rebound weight gain. I mean, it was huge. So it, in the short term, yeah, I was wearing smaller pants, but I felt shaky and terrible all the time. I felt like I was on some kind of uppers or something.
Yeah.
And then the rebound weight gain, and that was, I was never obese before the diet pills. I only became obese after the diet pills. So I think that they affected my body metabolically in a really bad way. So, you know, sometimes people will ask in the Facebook groups, they'll say, you know, my doctor said I could take, you know, XYZ to help my appetite while I'm getting started. I'm like, don't. You want to regulate your appetite naturally.
Exactly. Yes. I can't underline that enough. Right. But I think nowadays, I guess everyone obviously, even before, I mean, everyone wants this magical fix, right? And so then if a doctor puts this drug in front of you and is like, you know, this is going to work, like you will just, you want to take it because at that point, I knew that I was not able to continue living how I was living and be happy. I was miserable. And I would, like I said, I was counting calories. I was trying all these things and nothing was working. So I thought, you know, oh, this will be it. But luckily, I had found intermittent fasting and that, you know, made me diverge that path. So in September 2019, like I said, I had tried the 16-8, wasn't really working. But then I wish I could say how I found it, but I found the intermittent fasting podcast and it blew my mind because I had only ever seen, there were a few people that were doing like alternate day fasting or 16-8. And I had tried the alternate day fasting and it was really rough.
Right. Oh yeah. Especially really if you're rough. New.
Well, right. Exactly. And so now I think if I ever tried it, it might be better. But I know that you say that you can't really sleep well if you're, and I already have trouble sleeping. And if I'm hungry going to bed, I'll be up all night.
Yep. That's me. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say I'll never try it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like I will. I mean, I guess if I started to struggle with my weight at some point, I would. But since I've gone through menopause and I'm now on the other side, I feel like I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to, I've been really worried about menopause, I have to admit, even though it's been going well, mm-hmm. you know, hormonal things could change at any minute, but I have it in my back pocket, so I'm not going to say never.
Right.
You know, something could happen.
Right. Well, and that's how I feel too. I mean, right. Not in menopause, but still, you know, I get it. I don't want to ever throw that tool out of the toolbox, right? But for right now, it's not in my wheelhouse, I guess.
Some people sleep great on it.
I know
a lot of the moderators of my Facebook groups use either a 5-2 or 4-3 kind of approach. But
you know what's so funny? Actually, I remember in 2014, I had met, and I think she was maybe around 50 or so, and she was, this was in 2014, and she was alternate day fasting, but for religious reasons. And I remember the family and I, we were all like, you can't do that. Like, you're going to die. Like, you're starving yourself. And she was just like, no, I mean, look at the research, like, blah, blah. And I didn't bother because I was like, oh, no.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Like, you are doing so much harm. But But it's so funny how, you know, things can change. Because even now, I mean, people know about intermittent fasting, regardless of whether or not they're doing it. They've heard of it. So maybe it won't seem as jarring, like a shock of, oh my God, you're not eating, you know? But yeah. So anyway, I'd found your podcast on November 4th. I'll never forget that day, November 4th. And from that day on, what I liked was that I had said, I'd only seen 16:8 or alternate day fasting, and neither of those were working for me. And then when I listened to you and Melanie talk about the OMAD, you know, one meal a day or whatever it was, I realized that there were other options, right? And so at the beginning, I was very strict with I think I was at a 6-hour window then. And I know that's not OMAD, right? Because I would usually eat kind of like two meals or like basically I would have a big meal and then a smaller like snack before bed. And that worked really well for me. And that's still kind of what I do now. But I'm a little more intuitive with it. So
I love that.
Yeah, if I'm not as hungry, I won't eat, you know, until I'm hungry. Or if I say I'm like starving one day, I'll open my window at, so I do a evening window, and I'll open my window at like 3 if I'm really hungry. That doesn't happen a lot, but I allow myself to do it, that is what makes it even more like a lifestyle, is that I know there's flexibility there. I want to eat within a window because it's how I feel best. But knowing that I have that flexibility of, yeah, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Or if my friends want to go out to brunch, like I'm not going to not go just because I'm in a, you know, fasting window. I want to enjoy that time with my friends, right?
So are you still fasted right now? It's
4:30.
Me too.
Still fasted.
We started recording at 4 p.m., and so I don't like to eat till after I finish recording. So I actually have been kind of, my window's naturally adjusted a little bit earlier recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not drinking wine at night anymore.
Yeah.
So that's really, that shifted it a lot earlier just because I eat my dinner and then I'm like, all right, I'm done. Yeah. So I'm usually closing my window around 7.
Oh, wow.
Now. Yeah. And so.
But you go to bed earlier than I do.
Yeah. I do. I go to bed early.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a night owl, so I will stay up. I mean, obviously I have insomnia, so it's even worse, but I'll stay up really late, like 1, 2 o'clock
okay,
in the morning.
No.
So stopping at 7 is good for me personally.
My circadian rhythm is shifting a little earlier.
Yeah. I wish I was like that, honestly.
Well, you got to embrace who you are. My friend Sherry Bullock and I are starting a podcast, Life Lessons. Have you heard me talk about that at all?
No, I haven't.
We've got a Facebook group, Life Lessons with Jen and Sherry. And by the time this podcast comes out, it will already be out because the first episode comes out December 2nd. It's going to be on Wednesdays. I'm so excited about it. But our first episode, we just recorded it, and it was about sleep.
Ah.
And we talked about the different sleep chronotypes and how you can take a quiz and figure out what your sleep chronotype is. I'm going to predict you're a wolf.
I don't know what that means.
Well, stay up really late.
Uh-huh.
Well, or you could be a dolphin. Now you need to take the quiz and then email me and tell me.
What is it called?
Dolphins have trouble with insomnia.
Oh.
So
What's that quiz called?
Okay, I can't remember the name of the quiz, but look up Dr. Bruce, B-R-E-U-S, I think is how you spell his name. Dr. Bruce, and he has a sleep chronotype quiz, and I am a lion. Which means I wake up really early, productive in the morning.
I think I heard you and Melanie talk about this on one of the most recent podcasts. Now that's ringing a bell because I remember you saying, I think I'm a lion.
Yeah, I'm definitely a lion. But Sherry and I are talking about it too because that was something we had in our Facebook group. We're like, what do y'all want to learn about? Because it's not an intermittent fasting podcast.
Yeah.
It's about like everything else that's intermittent fasting because I'm so excited about that. But people really struggle with sleep.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, it's something that I've struggled with my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I can remember, like even middle school, high school, I was up so late and it would be horrible to wake up in the morning, but I could not, like I'm not tired, which
See?
Is...
And you're just, your natural rhythm is out of sync with the yes. rhythm of the world.
The sun.
And so you're trying to force yourself into the box that everyone else is in.
Yeah, well, because I think that's what is normalized, right? And obviously, you know, I have to wake up for work in the morning. So, you know, there's only a certain amount of time that I can sleep, right? So I know it would feel good if I could wake up on my own, but I can't. So, you know, obviously I have work at 9, so got to wake up before. Yeah, I know.
Well, if you're not sleeping, then
yeah. Oh, it's miserable.
You know, if you would like to sleep in because you've gone to bed so late, then right. 9 is that's a
oh, it's tricky. It is early. I mean, for me, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to eventually getting a little bit better sleep, and I'm working on it. Like I'm trying to do a lot more natural. Like I heard you guys talk about magnesium, so I'm taking a magnesium supplement now. You know, and just trying to do little things here and there. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I know it's miserable to not be able to sleep. I struggled with it more going through menopause. And that was really what took me down the road of restricting my wine consumption because I sleep so much better with no alcohol.
Which is actually funny because if I have alcohol, I'm out like a light.
Well,
like,
see, but I go out like a light, but then I wake up all night long.
Oh, interesting. Actually, you know what? I think that would probably be for me too.
Yeah.
I would wake up, well, especially like mouth is dry kind of. And, you know, actually now that you say that, yeah, I think I would wake up early.
That's not what happens to me. Like all throughout the night. Yep. And I really didn't realize how bad it was until I got this bed that tracks my sleep. It's a sleep number bed. And it tracks my sleep and lets me know, like it gives me different colors during the night. And it also lets me know what my heart rate is. And
oh, that's interesting.
Yep. And so like I noticed when I would have alcohol, my heart would be racing all night long. I would have lots of waking up. Yeah. And you see it there, you're like, oh my gosh, that's alarming.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to get a sleep number.
I know. I wish they sponsored me. Sleep
right?
Sponsor my podcast.
Hello. Don't speak so highly of you.
Well, it's really cool that the bed gives me all that data. We got one for the beach as well because I just love it's a comfortable bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially when I was around the 212 pound mark, mm-hmm. I had gotten basically when I had broken my foot, I had to get one surgery and then I've had to get another surgery because, so I didn't say this before, but the break, it was a really bad break. It breaks multiple, but I don't know how, but two doctors missed it. So I went for a month, actually a little more than a month. It was like a month and a half where I had this broken foot and people were saying, oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh my gosh.
You're fine. Yeah. And I was in so much pain. But the problem is because I waited to have this surgery, because I eventually saw a specialist and he was like, oh yeah, Lisfranc fracture here and blah, blah, blah. Then I finally got the surgery. But because it was so late in the game, I guess I've developed arthritis in that foot. And so the second surgery was to help alleviate some of that pain, which it has. But there are two things. So I guess during that time where I was 212 pounds and going through the second surgery, I live alone, so I didn't know this, but my aunt came to stay with me to help like take care of me during that first week. And she was saying how I snored so much. And before I had never snored, or at least, you know, people would tell me that I didn't snore. I don't know. But she said that I was snoring and that also I noticed this myself, but I had kind of started to develop sleep apnea a little bit. Like I'd wake up in the middle of the night, my heart would be racing and I'd be like trying to catch my breath. Now all that's gone, which
that's
is
awesome.
Very exciting. Yeah. I actually have a couple of non-scale victories.
Oh, definitely.
You say.
Those.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, not only from the weight, so I was 212. I actually, in the first week, I know this was all water weight, but in the first week of me sticking to like a 5-hour window, I had lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
In the first week.
That still feels good.
Oh my God, it felt so good. Yes.
Pick up 10 pounds of water jugs and carry them around. You can legit feel good about that.
Yes. And again, I know it's not fat.
I
was not losing fat. I know it was water, but just having that mental victory of like, oh my God, I'm seeing the scale go down for the first time ever, really, without trying, really. So, but then after that 10 pounds, I gradually started to lose about 2 pounds a week. And then in July, I've actually plateaued in July and I would like to lose a little bit more weight, but I kind of have loosened up a little bit because this is actually something that I wanted to talk about. Maybe you know, or Facebook members, I don't know, but I tried to look and I couldn't find anything. I've actually have what's called telogen effluvium, where it's you're losing your hair.
Hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so in July, I started to lose like tons and tons of hair. And now I only have, honestly, it's less than half of what I used to have.
Well, let's count back. With telogen effluvium, I had that happened for me when I did keto.
Okay.
Keto.
Interesting.
It has to do with what your body perceives as a stressful event. Mm-hmm. Now, it's 2020. Count back from July, 3 months prior to that.
What is that, June? Yeah, April. Yeah. Oh,
Were you really, really going through a lot of stress in April?
Yeah. Yes.
Was it pandemic-related stress?
Pandemic-related, yeah. Yeah.
It may or may not be related to intermittent fasting for you. So whenever you have the hair loss that's related to stress, that type of hair loss, you count back about 3 months and say what happened then, and that's probably what it was, if you had a change or a big stress.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that makes sense because, I went to the doctor because I was really freaked out.
It does freak you out. It freaked me out.
Oh my God.
And the thing about it is, once it has started.
It still hasn't stopped.
It does. Yeah. The thing that caused it's over. So by the time you see it happening, it's already over. That's the thing that people need to understand. It's already over. Your body but then has to complete the process because it's pushing out all the old hairs.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, you should see. I mean, you can
And you've
see
got
now,
the new ones coming in.
Oh, my. I have so many
tiny
little.
I did it. Yep. So it's over. So don't stress about it. And here's what's also, I think, a little funny. People always claim they did something that made the hair grow back. They're like, I started taking the supplement and it all grew back. And I want to just say, well, if you hadn't started taking that supplement, it also would have all grown back.
Well, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Because the doctor was saying, she said it was the weight loss. Like, she was like,
It could have been. It depends on what your body perceived as the stress.
As stress.
Was it the weight loss or was it the pandemic? It's impossible to know. But the thing is that once it's already over and the regrow has to happen. So I look back.
Well, and I kind of just wish, the rest of it, whatever needs to come out, I just wish it would come out so that I don't have to think about it anymore.
It's a lot of hair coming out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in the shower, your hairbrush, it's really scary
and so sad. But I never had it again. Oh, and you can look, I have good hair.
Yeah,
but I look at the pictures from 2015 and all the pictures from 2015, I can tell my hair is thinner.
Yeah.
And then it just got better. It got better, so.
Oh, and I know it's growing back.
You can see it.
Yeah, I can see it. It's I think as a woman too, right? I mean, we kind of identify with our hair and, seeing so much of it come out at one time.
It's a lot. You wonder how you're not bald when you see so much of it in the shower.
Thank you.
I was like, how do I have any left?
Yeah, I still to this day, I'm like, if I keep at this rate, really, I'm going to be bald. But I have heard that you only lose, you can lose up to 70%. You'll always still have that 30%. I don't know if that's true, but
I don't know either. I haven't heard the percentages, but I didn't look at that part. So,
I mean, that's what I've researched, but again, I am not a doctor. I have no idea if that's 100% true. But I guess I was just wondering, I know you said you've gone through it with keto, but I have felt so alone this whole time because I hadn't really been able to, I even searched the podcasts and stuff and I hadn't really seen anything.
I don't know if we've talked about it really. I'm not sure if we have. We may have. It may have come up in a question, but, can intermittent fasting cause it? Yes. If your body perceives it as a stress.
Well, I hope now it doesn't perceive it as a stress because I want this to.
But that might not have been it for you.
Right.
It's hard to say.
Right. I mean, I guess there were a lot of.
It was a stressful
stresses thought. Going on. I mean, and they're still going on.
They right are.
Now, but
they are.
I hope that the intermittent fasting is not what my body perceives as a stress because I want to live this way.
Do you feel good?
For the rest of my life. Yes.
Then that's
I
not
feel
it.
Good.
And then your body is not perceiving it as a stress. Because remember when you were doing all the crazy dieting and then you were binging? That was because your body perceived that as a stress. And then it sent you the binge signals. And so now you feel good. And so that's how you know. When you feel better and better, you know that you're on the right track. And when you feel worse and worse, that's when you know you're on the wrong track. But we're so used to pushing down those feelings.
Well, right. Exactly. Actually, you know what's really interesting? There was another thing that Jason Fung said. Now it just kind of popped into my head when he was saying, he said in his book, he said, basically this move less.
Or eat less, move more.
Yeah. There we go.
Eat less, move more.
Eat less, move more. He was saying, you know, doctors continue to prescribe this, right? But why then are there still overweight doctors?
Well.
Right? And that also, I was just like, wow.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Like, are they just unable to follow the advice?
Right.
Like, no, it's that the advice is not.
Is bad.
Really
it's
good.
Not good advice. Yeah. Anyway, that was another thing that blew my mind. I just kind of thought of it. But I guess for non-scale victories, I have a couple written down because okay. I didn't want to forget them. And some of them are really interesting. So I had a skin tag on my wrist and I had had it for years. And all of a sudden it was gone. Like, I don't know when it happened. I don't know if it fell off. I don't know if it just gradually disintegrated, but I looked one day and it wasn't there. And
did you know that those are related to high levels of insulin?
No, I didn't.
They are. Mm-hmm. Skin tags are related to hyperinsulinemia. So if you have chronically high levels of insulin, you're likely to have skin tags along with prediabetes, obesity, all the other things. So losing skin tags is a fabulous sign that you're becoming metabolically healthy.
That is great. I mean, I was just thinking about it for vanity's sake, but also now, I mean, that's fantastic.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I guess too, you know, I think during that time, I was eating a lot of crap, like junk, right? So that makes sense. I was foregoing the healthy foods for the junk.
The easy to count.
The easy to count. And, you know, and then when I would binge or cheat, right, then those meals would never be healthy. They would be, you know, takeout and ice cream and, you know, whatever it was. So yeah, anyway, I have the skin tag. And then I also, so that arthritis in my foot that I talked about, that has improved so much. I still have pain when I walk, but it is so much better. I can't even, because I think also it had to do with how overweight I was. I was putting more pressure on my joints and my foot, but wow, it's made such a difference. Like when I walk my dog, I would constantly be thinking about it when I was that heavy, but now sometimes during the walk, I don't even feel it. But yeah, which has been so wonderful. Obviously, since November, November 2019, I can say that I have not binged.
Oh, that's huge. Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I have not binged once in almost a year.
That's so huge.
It's been incredible. Yeah. And I think it's because before my whole day consisted of thinking of food. Like I would just be thinking like, okay, when can I have breakfast? When's my snack? Okay, lunch. What am I going to have for lunch? Okay, next snack, dinner, dessert. Like I would just constantly be thinking about it. And now, I mean, I open my window and I eat exactly, I mean, what I want, but obviously it's not like junk, right? I'm not eating junk.
You don't want
junk. Because I don't want it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, sure, there are some days when I'm like, oh, I could go for a croissant. And then I have a croissant.
Exactly.
And it's fine. But I eat what I want and I'm full, not uncomfortably full, but
satisfied.
Satisfied.
It feels
and I've
good.
Never had that. Yeah, I have never had that except for when I was binging, because when I would binge, finally I'd feel overstuffed. But that was the only time that I could feel full. Whereas now, after a meal.
And I think we're supposed to eat with satisfaction and feel satisfied and full. I think we're supposed
yeah.
to. It feels good. Overly full doesn't.
No, yeah, no.
But,
that doesn't feel good.
But it feels good.
That full feeling, it's freeing because it makes me not think about food all day. I'm not binging, which is wonderful because I feel like, okay, if I want that, McDonald's hamburger, I can have it. But
you're
do I really
it.
Want it? Yeah. But do I really want it? Not particularly. Like right there are other things that I would rather have. So I don't know. The not binging thing
has
been huge for me. And just like my mental health in general, because not only do I feel better, but also just mentally, my mind is not clogged with, oh, you're so fat, like eat this, and just those constant revolving thoughts. That's been absolutely huge. And then there was one other thing. Oh yeah. And also the mental clarity that I get during work. Wow. That was something that I was not expecting, because I remember, at work, I would hit this like morning lull after breakfast and I just wouldn't want to do anything. And then, lunch would come and then this afternoon lull again, I would have, and I just could not, I was tired and I didn't want to work. But now, oh my God, I can just go through the day and then it passes and I'm like,
Where did the day go?
Yeah, did the day go?
Because you were productive the whole time.
I was productive the whole time. And now for like a lunch break, I'll go on a walk. And that's what I want to do. I'm not hungry. I mean, you talk about mechanical hunger. Like sometimes I'll have the mechanical hunger.
The stomach will growl.
Oh, and there was one other thing that you said that this, I can't remember when you've said it, but I know you've said it a lot, where I now know that hunger is not an emergency. And that was huge for me because before, hunger was an emergency. Like if I was hungry, I was angry, I needed to find food immediately. And now I just don't feel that way anymore. And that is so freeing.
It really is. You're no longer, held prisoner with the thought that I've got to eat at this, special time.
Right.
You
exactly.
do.
Yeah.
Today I'm opening my window later than I have been lately. No big deal.
Yeah. No big deal. Right.
I feel fine.
Yeah. You'll make it. Yes, you might have a little hunger, but I'll eat. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a problem. But before, I'm telling you, I was a slave to being hungry and I was a slave to food and I'm not anymore. And it is so wonderful.
That's a good feeling. So how much weight have you lost overall? I know you just told us a whole bunch of non-scale victories. I know you also said you're on a plateau and not where you want to be yet, but.
Yeah, yes. So I have in total lost right now. Well, I've in total lost about 64 pounds.
Wow.
I guess that is the number, 64 pounds. Yeah, it's really exciting.
That's huge. And it's not a year yet. So
no, and it's not a year
that's
yet.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. But like you said, I have hit a plateau and I can't tell whether or not it's because I have kind of let up on, I still eat healthy.
Right.
But maybe I know the hair thing really kind of threw me off. And so I was like, oh my God, well, maybe I need to back off a little bit.
Okay.
And then mentally, I kind of have got out of the, I really don't know what's different, but I think that really shocked me. And so I don't know if that has to do with the plateau or, maybe I need to even more change what I'm eating and eat a little cleaner and maybe not have, I don't know. If I want a donut, I usually eat a donut, right? But I don't know.
I would say give it some time. And, plateaus do happen along the way just because your body's regrouping and then you'll continue to lose. But do you have fast, feast, repeat?
Actually, no, I don't have it yet, but I have it like in my Amazon wish list.
Well, yeah. When you get it, turn straight to the scale schmale chapter. And I want you to have other ways of measuring. And I talk about this in that chapter, you know, your honesty pants, photos.
Yeah, yeah. The photos make me, sometimes the photos are hard to look at. I did.
Well, I get it.
Yeah, I did take photos in the beginning. Now I kind of go by clothes size and the scale, unfortunately. I still go by the scale.
Well, see, I do too, but I had gained a little bit of weight. I don't know if it was pandemic or I don't know if it was menopause. I'm not really sure. We were drinking a lot more alcohol during that early days of the pandemic, but
yeah.
I didn't stop fitting in my clothes. You know, I don't weigh myself, so I don't know what my number was, but I could tell that my honesty pants were a little tight. So I took a photo in May.
Okay.
Of from all the different angles. And I had a little muffin top in those honesty pants. And then I just recreated the same exact photo with the same exact pants, same exact angles. And I'm completely back to normal.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, the pants told the truth. And I had a little muffin top and now that's gone. So, but I mean, I didn't have to do anything crazy. I have not been drinking alcohol.
Yeah, see, I don't drink alcohol that much. I only do it
well, that was like, my,
socially.
That was, yeah, so. That was the thing that was bothering my body.
Yeah,
I was drinking too much. I mean, you know, when I say that, I mean more frequently during the week.
Right.
You know, I wasn't like, you know.
Having tons of wine or tons of. Yeah, no.
It wasn't a problem. Like, I wasn't a problem drinker. But no. I realized, gosh, you know, it's affecting my sleep and,
Maybe this isn't
that. It's not working. I'm really trying to make it work for me. I don't think it's working for me. And so that's the only thing I've changed.
Yeah.
And my honesty pants are perfect.
You know what? I think I know what I need to do. I'm not ready to, or it's not that I'm not ready. I think, one, I could definitely clean up my foods a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know I could definitely do that. But then also, it's funny. After work, I think I've created this habit where after work, when I end at like, let's say 5:30 or 6 or whatever, then I'll immediately eat. And I also have this thing where mentally it makes me feel healthier when I don't restrict myself for time once I've started eating.
Well, I think that you should keep doing that then. If it does, if it feels good, don't start, you know, open your window. If it makes you feel mentally good, keep doing that.
Yeah. I think that's, I've noticed, like, I can't, because then if I say, oh, I'm going to stop eating at 10, then I feel that kind of diet mentality come back and I don't want that. So, but what I think I have, but then what happens is sometimes that means my window gets longer and longer, right? Because if I start at 6, you know, and then I stop at 12 or 1, then obviously that's 6-7 hours. So I think what I need to do is, you know, my sleep is not changing anytime soon, so I just need to push through a little bit and make my window more like 5 hours again. Because I think being strict
in
some ways is
a little too window creep. Creep happening.
Yeah, I feel my window creeping.
I get
exactly.
That. Yeah. And that's what wine was doing for me. It was causing window creep because I would, you know, I mentioned earlier that I'm closing my window earlier.
Yeah.
Just because naturally.
Because of the wine.
Because I was having the glass of wine, and then after dinner, I continued to have the wine, you know, I was finishing it, and then I needed a little something after that. So it might be 9 o'clock.
Right.
And the only reason my window kept going is because I was drinking the wine and then had to close it up with something. Mm-hmm. Instead, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's what I need to do. I'm not going to restrict myself because when I open my window, I have to keep my window open just for my mental sanity. I might not eat past 10, but just knowing that I can makes me feel good. But I think if I can push my window back a little bit, because I have started to eat later than 10, like 11, but you have to remember I also go to bed later. So like at like 2:30. So, you know, but I think if I push my window back a little bit, the problem is I think because I've created a habit, and maybe other people can, I don't know, relate. But because I've created a habit with a time, now I'm like, oh, 6 o'clock, like time to eat. And then I get hungry.
I get it. And you'll figure it out. And really, this is just, you know, you've done great. And so give your body some time. Plateaus are natural. Your body regroups. Well, we are almost out of time.
Okay. Yeah.
So what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Yeah. I think when I first started, one, I would want myself to do more research, but also know that just because someone is telling you, oh, 16-8 is going to work for you, or alternate day fasting is the answer, that might not be your answer, right? And I with the 16-8, I was really upset when it didn't work for me. So I think just telling myself that, and also be kind to your body. That's another huge one. I was so mean to myself and my body. And if you just, I think I would tell myself, if you just stick to it, the results will come.
Yeah.
And just in the middle, in the meantime, just be kind to yourself.
Well, I love that. And you know, the healing that you've gone through, the mental healing,
yeah.
Oh my God, is just yeah. as important as the physical healing.
Right. And it gets better. That's what I would also
it say. Does it get
gets
better.
Better. It gets better. The hunger won't be there because before, obviously, right? In the
adjustment period.
Yeah, you're hungry, mm-hmm. but it gets better. Don't worry.
It does get better. And, you know, sometimes people that are new, they'll say, well, when I stop intermittent fasting, will I regain the weight? And I'm like, you're not going to stop.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to.
I cannot see myself eating all day now because if I do, I don't feel great.
Right.
I really don't feel great. So I can't even imagine
going back to that.
No, I can't. So,
well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being here today. And I really enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you too. Thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.